Hello, welcome to Meaningful Messages with Tamika Smith, your source of inspiration and empowerment. One day, I chose my faith over everything, over second-guessing, doubt, hopeless hope in an abusive relationship to not only survive, but thrive. I chose to be better, not bitter. As a mother, author of several books, and an advocate of domestic violence, how? I discovered my voice. I underestimated myself. My message resonated with many. From Huffington Post, Good Housekeeping, The Renewal Project, TV and radio appearances, this progressive, extroverted introvert decided to share meaningful messages with those looking for a purposeful life. Get ready to laugh, cry, and leave better than you came in. Welcome to Meaningful Messages. Hey guys, happy June. It is June 1st and we are launching. Welcome to season 2. And in season 2, I'm doing something a little different. We are going to be having some interviews in this series called The Jewel in You. The first episode is with an interview with Bella Marciano. I find it not strange how God places people in your life for reasons and seasons and specific ways for us to connect, especially in these times and seasons that we're living in, to connect and connect in different ways. And you know, I was listening to a Gary Vaynerchuk a podcast or video I should say a few weeks ago, and listened to her testimony. It was so powerful, and I had to reach out to her to interview her because I wanted you guys to hear how she made some painful moments in her life. She turned it around for the good of God. You know, God says it all the time in his word and in Romans 8:28. You know, he's turning everything out for our good. And so the power of listening to other people's testimonies, it can make you build your faith. These are faith builders, not just me talking and you guys listening to me. This is something powerful that I want you guys to gravitate to, because the power of your testimony is a narrative that cannot be rewritten. It cannot be altered because it's from your own perspective. So listen to Bella. Make sure you support her. Follow her on her website, her social media. And just give me some thoughts. Give me some thoughts and make sure that you do follow this podcast, Meaningful Messages, because it is for a purpose and on purpose, guys. Have an amazing day, and we'll be back next Monday with the next one.
I was very nervous, and I looked back at it, and I was like, wow, I could have, you know, I'm the type that's like, well, I self-doubt sometimes, yeah. And I'm like, I could have done better, you know, I should have been more calm, you know, my dog was barking, and I already had a headache, so I'm like, you know, but one, like, everybody can feel positive and nice when I saw it afterwards, but this one particular person, I don't know what their deal was with me, but they said she's a delusional, narcissistic personality disorder. I mean, this guy just kept coming at me to the point where I had to like report him.
Wow.
In the comments.
Like, wow, what is, yeah, and sometimes when, you know, when you are speaking up against something, you can trigger something there.
You know, of how not to take that in, because I know that I'm not that type of person.
Yeah.
I know that's not who I am.
Absolutely. And, you know, when you speak up.
That's really it, but it was a great experience.
Good. I'm so happy for you. Yeah, when you speak up, it triggers something in them, and they could be, you know, an abuser, they could be abused, and then they could feel like, you know, it triggers something within them. But it grows over time, because I know that you're going to do some amazing things, and I'm just so happy for you to even having the courage to speak up about the things that you went through. That takes so much courage. It really does.
Thank you. I was nervous, and I shouldn't have, because it was like, I got involved with him very young, you know?
Yeah.
And I had two sons with him, and then I just never looked back. He sexually assaulted me, physically assaulted me, mentally. Mm. But, you know, I feel like there's so many other women, especially working in the emergency field. I saw so many other women that, you know, didn't have it. That they could get out. You know, so I take it as a blessing to recycle the pain so that I can hopefully help somebody, because, I mean, even after the relationship, I was severely depressed. I had post-traumatic stress disorder. Mm. You know, I was just like, so, but I finally was like, you know what, I'm going to talk about it. And like I said, I'm Gary Vee. I was so nervous that I kind of was jumping all over the place. And I'm like, wow, I'm like, I messed up.
You did so good, though, and I know you said that. Is it okay if I start recording and asking you a few questions?
Sure.
Okay. And you said that you worked in the emergency field, so, you know, you dealt with your own trauma. So, you know, how did that make you feel seeing someone else's trauma probably stemming from abuse? Like, you know, what are your thoughts on that?
Funny enough, I worked in the emergency field for over 15 years, so
wow.
I was going through this abuse, and then I was going to work, and I worked in-house, because I worked on EMS, so it actually, I think, helped me. I loved my job, I loved helping people, and that was almost like my escape, but at the same time, it's like nothing else that happened with him mattered when somebody was in my care. It was just this feeling of empathy, and like you could feel their pain. It's so hard to describe.
Yeah, I totally get it, because, you know, when I was going through my abuse, and I was in it for, you know, 5 years, and, you know, that was my escape. I was able to turn it off. I was able to smile in front of people, act like everything was okay. But you know, at work, I was working, I was helping. That empathy, you know, Gary Vee, he talks about that so much, about having empathy. And those are the things, that's the jewel, you know, that you're going to carry. And, you know, this podcast, when it comes out in June, is going to start a series of The Jewel in You, and you're going to be the start of that series.
Aww.
Yeah,
thank you so much.
You're
I'm just so grateful. I'm so grateful. I really am, because I've been through a lot of things with him, and you know, it's just humiliation too. And then you know, my own mother, you know, just not being there, not being supportive, and my family. You know, it was just like they didn't know about the abuse to the extent, but you know, I was raised like you call your family when something's going on. You don't call the cops, and you know, it's sometimes an image. Family don't want other family members to know that, you know, your daughter is. So, you know, my mother brushed a lot under the rug. I wish I knew better, so I could have done better. You know, if my mother had taught me a lot of things. Like I said, I'm not blaming her, but I feel that now there's a lot where you can, you know, Google things and look things up and watch videos. But when I was going through it, '94, I was a mother. That was it. There was nothing. You had to go to the library, but I still didn't understand what was going on, because I was already coming from a broken family. Yeah. And I think that he was my way out.
Wow. Yeah, and I get it. I totally get it. So, because you were, while I was watching your YouTube video, you said you were around 16 at the time. So what would you say to a 16-year-old? It could be male or female, because men go through it too.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and so what would you say to the person that could be 16, 36, 46, that could be going through the same thing? I know when, you know, you touched on it too, talking about, you know, while we're in quarantine, home is not peaceful for everybody. So what would you say to someone that's dealing with it right now?
I would say that make a plan, you know, come up with a plan. If you see somebody, even this might sound so stupid, but if you're stuck in the house under quarantine, if you see your mailman coming up and you have to throw a notebook window, do it, you know?
Yeah.
Educate yourself. Don't say it's not going to get any better. It turns worse, and, you know,
yeah.
For all the women and girls and men that think that this person is going to change, you are not going to change that person.
Mm.
That person has to want to change. And that was my problem, is I felt like, you know, oh, I could change this person. You can't change somebody who doesn't want to be changed.
Right.
And, you know, I feel that you need to look inward and, you know, heal yourself, but get out, get your kids out of it. Because I have a son now, 24, who doesn't know how to really treat his girlfriend right, verbally, because he saw and witnessed a lot of things that his father did.
Wow.
So I would say come up with a plan. You have to plan. You can reach out. There's, you know, some women and men, abusers like to lock down your phone, or, you know, in my case, it would be pulled right out of the wall and put where I can't get it. There's text crisis lines. Anything you could do, but tell somebody, anybody, and let them go get help for you too.
Absolutely, because a big part of that, you know, you talked about the humiliation and getting out of the place and wanting to live is as simple as that. And it's not just, you know, a lot of people, you may have heard it, you know, somebody tell you just get over it. So how did you, you know, heal from what you encountered with that relationship?
When I left, he had a gun out on me and my oldest son, and I had my baby, and he was threatening a murder-suicide.
Mm-hmm.
So when we took off, that was it. I told my papa right away, like, listen, this guy's going to kill me, you know. I did call the police. I had to leave that relationship. I had actually lost my job at the same time. So a lot of things were going on. I lost my job afterwards, but it took me years to heal. And there's some things that I still,
right,
you know, talk about and have to heal from, because I was in survival mode. And this is a huge thing. And I think you can relate, Tanika, and other people as well. When you're in survival mode, you're not thinking about yourself, you know? You're always thinking about everybody else.
Right.
And I didn't have time to think. So after the situation, I actually went into a severe, severe depression.
Wow.
For about 7 years. I was having flashbacks. He was keeping tabs on me still. So it was a lot of fear. So in 2016, I started praying again, because when I was going through what I was going through, I lost my faith in God. I was just so upset with everything.
Mm-hmm.
And in 2016, I remember sitting on my back stoop and just praying for the strength, and you know, everybody has their higher power, or who they believe in. Me, it's God, and I feel that God has given me the strength to say, you know what, get your story out. This is, I put you through this so you could recycle this thing, because you need to help other women, men, children. Like, you have to do this, and this is why I put you through this. So I started journaling. I had to see a psychiatrist.
Yeah.
I do see a therapist. I started doing life coaching courses. And then I went to public speaking class, because I'm just not going to go back into the medical field. I don't feel that, you know. I feel that part of my life is done, but I still want to continue to help people. And that was a lot of my healing. too is because it's me helping myself, I can help others, and it's so rewarding for somebody, just a message that says, thank you so much for sharing your story.
Yeah.
Like, that touches me, like, wow, really? You know, so...
Yeah.
So I think everybody's different, and I think that talking about it, honestly, I just realized since Monday has actually been helping me, and, you know, the feedback and the support that I never had is really just, I can't explain.
Yeah, and the beautiful thing about it is when you tell your story, you're gaining more strength as well as somebody that needs their strength that's going through it. And it's funny how, you know, after, you know, you went through all that, you started building your faith back up, you started journaling, you started writing, you got centered, you know, with faith and doing the life coaching. And my next question is, you know, what's next for you?
I'm so sorry, Tamika.
No problem.
My daughter had said something to me.
It's okay. Just asking, you know, with the life coaching and the journaling, what's next for you?
For me,
yeah.
I just want to help change the corner of my world, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Anything I can do to help others. I want to travel. I want to speak. I want to go volunteer at, you know, women's shelters, all shelters.
Okay.
I just want to give back. I just want to give back. That's what I have to do. I cannot have a job that is not helping other people.
Right.
So, you know, for me, it's I need to give back, and that's what is helping me heal. You
awesome.
Know, I'm working with a 29-year-old woman right now who is in a domestic violence relationship, and she's quarantined with COVID.
Wow.
Positive. With her husband.
Jesus.
And he's very abusive to her, but she hasn't come to that point yet to, you know, that where she thinks she's ready, but I can't force her. We can't force anybody, so
right.
We just have to be there and let them go through it. But, you know, she's in the excuse-making car, and, you know, well, I don't think he's going to do it again. And, you know, so I'm just there, and I just stay there with her when she could call, or, you know, when he's not around, or, you know, so it's sad to see, because I'm like, wow, don't waste your time.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely. Because it's when you have a power of a made up mind that changes things, and not, you know, being the superhero and not, you know, being okay with the excuses, but just waking up. And, you know, when I dealt with my situation, you know, my family knew, but it took me to realize that I couldn't change what he was doing. And you had to go through some of the similar things. So, you know, I'm proud of you. And I'm just so thankful that God connected us the way that he did. I'm just beside myself. And I know that, you know, this is only the beginning for you. And I thank you so much for just taking the time to saying yes to, you know, to making a stand and saying yes to you and even getting on Gary Vee. And so we're going to be talking more soon. I don't want to take up too much more of your time, but I do thank you for even having the phone call and the podcast.
Oh,
and
I would love to keep in touch. I'm so excited. I'm like, I found a sister.
Right. Right. And I'm just so thankful. So you definitely have my number. You can feel free to reach me anytime. If there's anything, whether it's helping. Oh my God, guys, that interview was so amazing, so powerful. And I hope you guys grab some jewels out of that message and put some things in your own life in proper perspective. Next week, we're going to start, you know, episode 2, series 2 of the Jewel in You series, because there's so many jewels in you, and sometimes you have to listen to other people's stories to get some jewels out of your own lives so you can put it in perspective. And in these times and seasons that we're in, and all the pressure that's around us and the pressure that we see, the beautiful thing about it is, you know what is created from pressure? Diamonds. And so let the diamonds, let you shine in a dark world in this time, in this season. And I love you all. Take care of yourselves. Be safe. Be safe. Be safe. And we'll be talking soon.